Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh! Yeehaw!
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Well, it's just about over. In Tampa, it is 30-10. Buccaneers with the lead with 4 minutes left to go. Tom Brady is on the bench in a baseball hat. Brad Johnson is playing quarterback right now.
It's Garbo.
Did you hear that, Smithers? Garbo is coming. So we got about 4 minutes to go in this game, and we'll get to Daniel Jones, who's on the field right now. He and his two interceptions for the Giants tonight, trying to put some garbage points on the board. They do have the ball past midfield, so they're Daniel Jones just got sacked. Yeah, they had it until I said it, and now they don't anymore.
But tonight is a great example of box score reading versus watching and analyzing a game. Daniel Jones has two interceptions. We'll talk about him in full in a moment. Tom Brady has one. Bounced off his receiver's hands into the willing defender and a gift touchdown for the Giants to account for 7 of their 10 points. As for Daniel Jones, well, it's been a house of horrors, I think would be the nicest way to put it over the course of this evening. And this is a Tampa defense that comes in without Vita Vea. I don't know that I've seen, since Vince Wilfork, you know, the aforementioned Vince Wilfork, we'll get to him again as the show goes on. I don't know that I've seen a defensive tackle highlighted on a show when he's not playing ever in my life, but certainly not with 7 or 8 ISOs over the course of a broadcast.
Yeah.
And there he is. Remember, he's not playing tonight. Because I think every time that Saquon Barkley ran the ball and fell down at the line of scrimmage, they wanted to say, and they're doing it, and he's not even playing. It's like he's got some kind of mind control.
So Daniel Jones sacked on back-to-back plays. He is sitting on the sideline with Jason Garrett.
Yeah, that's a good shot right there.
Yeah. I always like it because they're looking at the iPads with the
it's not an iPad. They're not a sponsor.
Well, sorry, but they're looking at their tablets with the big blue borders like you give to your
kid
their first tablet. So you know, because if you drop it, it won't break. Like
what was that? One of those things. Yeah.
It looks like they went, the first one I gave to my daughter here. Now if you drop it, it's okay. Try not to drop it, but it's okay if you drop it because it's really hard rubber on the side. All right, that's good. I don't want to break it, Dad. No. It's great. That's great. Just having it. It's really good.
Does it protect it if I step on it, Dad? No.
No, don't do that. It's just if you drop it, you know what? Why don't you use this on the bed? Why don't you lay on the bed and use the iPad and
here's
and play
a ball.
Your games?
Leave that alone.
And watch PBS Kids. So at the conclusion of this game, the Buccaneers do have the ball, and there is 2 minutes left to go, and number 11 is playing quarterback, so it does kind of look like Brad Johnson a little bit. There's beach balls flying around the field right now. We'll get to more on this game coming up in a couple of seconds, but let's see. Today is a big day for a couple of reasons. One, we have a big anniversary in the NFL.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The other thing is something happened tonight that you don't get all that often. Tonight in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, fresh off their victory over the New York Knicks, the suddenly skidding New York Knicks, are home for a game against the Pacers. And I say game loosely because the Bulls get blown out 109-77. So they
really
lose
great year and then a no show tonight.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it happens. You know, okay, but you know, you're 12-6. You're still feeling good if you're the Bulls. But, you know, Bulls fans are mad, right? And Chicago fans are mad. You don't want to be so mad at the Bulls because they're still having a really good year. So it's like, who can we take out our frustrations on because we're upset that we paid this money to come to a Bulls game and they lost? I know what we'll do, and this was the chant at the United Center.
Fire Maggie!
Fire Nagy all the way through the United Center.
Doesn't get any clearer than that either, though,
no.
Right?
No, you can't really make that up and say, what are they saying? They're saying, hire Shaggy. That's what they want. They want Shaggy to be hired by the team to do something. To him to walk around and say, it wasn't me.
Isn't that what Nagy does in every press conference? Wasn't me.
Not my fault. Listen, not my fault. I wasn't around the team this week, all right? So don't blame me.
No, that was the 1 week they played well. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true. That was Justin Fields at his best when Matt Nagy missed the game. Look, this is a really big game yesterday. It looked like the Bears were going to win. Eddie Dalton comes off the bench, and then the Bears give up an incredible final two-minute drive to Huntley, and everybody's going, you mean the dog from Curious George? No, the backup to Lamar Jackson, who didn't play at all yesterday. And suddenly what looked like was going to be a great moment for the Bears, right? It looked, hey, here they are. They're going to win this game. They're going to break this losing streak. It turns into a heartbreaking defeat. They had the longest losing streak in the NFL. It does not belong to the Jets. It belongs to the Chicago Bears. And look, it's a fait accompli that Matt Nagy is going to be let go at the end of this year, right? It's going to happen. Sometimes so much bad happens and you get so far down a road, there's just no way you can continue on with it next year. So it's going to happen. So it's going to happen for the Bears. It's just, boy, they really didn't recognize the window of, hey, do we really think that we have a great head coach in Matt Nagy? I mean, do we really think he's great, or is he just kind of okay at best? And that's kind of what it's been for the Bears. They've been okay at best in the Matt Nagy era. So, yeah, you have to kind of recognize that and decide to know when to move on, because they say, all right, let's try one more. Like, they tried one extra year for Mitchell Trubisky. It didn't work. One more year with Matt Nagy. Okay, you got to learn your lesson and go, okay, the Bill Belichick way of let's move on a year earlier instead of a year later because it gets us going to what's next for us. That's kind of what Chicago's got to subscribe to, because the last couple of years, they could have been out and into their next incarnation invention of the team, and maybe Justin Fields is better off right now with a better coach offensively that's going to be able to put in a game plan for him, or, you know, I don't know, you draft the guy in the first round, you craft the offense around him because clearly he's your quarterback of the future. I don't know, something crazy like that that, you know, another coach might have done to help things going on in Chicago.
Well, you know, my argument with all of that is that you've been a playoff team and you look at the NFC and the opportunity that was there, assuming the defense was healthy, and they've been anything but. Between Hicks and now Khalil Mack done for the year, you're signing Bruce Irvin, really? Trying to turn back the clock and think he's coming through the portal?
That would have been great, man. That would have been
great. No, exactly.
Oh, man.
But that's the point, right, is you're making some of these personnel moves. But, you know, all I heard was, well, you got to give it to Matt Nagy. He was a playoff coach 2 out of 3 years. Like, okay, yet you were very quick to point out his quarterback was terrible. So what is it? Like, one goes with the other. And then you have this stat. He's coached 20 games without Mitchell Trubisky, and this isn't a Mitchell Trubisky stand section here, but it's to give a little bit of clarity of what's going on. Matt Nagy's 6-14 in those starts. Two of those wins against the Lions, your opponent on Thursday. Okay, so, you know, kind of put things in perspective in that regard. But when you're looking at this squad as it's built, you know, I thought with Andy Dalton, a defense that looked like it had some teeth to it, coming into the season, David Montgomery, maybe more Darnell Mooney, who's become pretty solid. You'd see more Cole Kmet. We didn't see that until, the second half of the season. Again, it seems Nagy forgot to use him in his blueprint, as it were. Allen Robinson has disappeared. Just go all through. And the offensive line is trash. And we can talk about that. We knew that coming into the season, right? We talked about it. Top three, top five offensive lines. We like to rank a lot of stuff. We did the more obscure. Let's talk about offensive lines that are going to be terrible. And they were there right front and center. They got a couple of young pieces that eventually might be solid. But in the interim, it's all right, if you know this is a huge deficiency, what do? You got to change your offense. Whether it's for Andy Dalton those first couple games, or certainly once Justin Fields come in, and you know what his skill set is, and not to leave him sitting between the tackles as a sitting duck. They didn't do that. Start to develop a little bit, but he's still reticent to get rid of the ball. He won't push it because he's afraid that he's going to make a mistake. And instead, what's he doing? He's getting absolutely clobbered time and time again. you know, decision making and getting the ball out is just not happening. So, and now he's probably going to miss Thursday, and it's going to be the Andy Dalton show and another opportunity. And meanwhile, Bears fans, you know, they're tired of buying books about 1985, Smith. Right? It's just like you with your Jets. Nobody wants to hear Joe Namath stories again.
Hey, coming up next year.
Repurposed like a Garth Brooks album for the 47th time.
Hey, this is Afternoon Drive here in Chicago. Coming up next, we got yet another author who's got an in-depth look at the 85 Bears, who's going to stop by and tell us stories that we've heard thousands and thousands of times, except this time from different perspectives. That Mike Ditka maybe didn't chew bubble gum, that he was the first guy to chew bubble mint gum on the sideline. So that's going to be a big interview we got coming up for you. You know, I hear
you chuckle about that, man. There's still, you go into any bookstore in Chicago, there is a giant wall of, hey, here's your favorite, you know, things about Chicago books, right? Hey, you know, here's a history lesson on, you know, the Willis Tower, you know, former Sears Tower. Here's Water Tower Place. Hey, here's the Gold Coast. Here's this. And by the way, there's six more books on the Bears, including the guys, the untold stories. You know why they're untold? Because that guy hasn't had his book published yet. You know, a guy that played three snaps in week three of the preseason. That's the way it works. But for Matt Nagy, look, the chickens have come home to roost, right? You've had bad decision making. You can just check the tape here. Go through all the podcasts every Monday or Friday or live in a living color, listening to me die a little bit with each play call as to where Matt Nagy is and Ryan Pace in terms of my evaluations for years. They have not changed. And it's overdue. But the Bears being who they are, he'll finish the year. And there's still reports that, you know, before the season, when they look at their biographies, you knew what their contract situations were, both he and Ryan Pace. That got removed, those final lines. And it's believed they both got contract extensions for 2022. And knowing the Bears, that would mean Matt Nagy will be back.
Hey, we got a guest on the line right now who, he was an usher at Soldier Field from 1967 through 1989. He's just written the book on the 85 Bears, and with the stunning admission that in one game, Ryne Sandberg sat in a seat that was near where he was ushering. Let's go to him right now so we can tell that never-before-heard story. No, dude, look, I hear you.
You got Ryne Sandberg in.
How many
you
times?
You want a tough read? Go read his autobiography.
How many times do I have to see an embarrassing story about the Mets yet here? Coming up, hey, one year in Queens. We're going to go back and look again at the 86 Mets. It's like, okay, I'm the first guy to tell you, we don't need anything more about the 86 Mets. We don't need anything more. But when that's what you have and you're going back, that's all you have for your glory is that.
That's all you
and
got.
And you're still looking and looking and looking. That's how it goes, man. It's difficult.
Yeah, watching some of these offensive sets with Justin Fields, they long for the days of Jay Cutler. And Mitchell Trubisky, I can tell you that. And it's not all on the kid, right? And I don't want anybody to misconstrue that because it becomes an indictment. Look, you're not giving him a chance. Like, no, I think there's some talent. I don't know that this is the crew and the scheme or any of that to maximize it by any stretch of the imagination. And anybody that's watched more than a quarter of this team with Fields or pick any quarterback that's taken a snap in the Matt Nagy era, that this is where you're going to go play winning football. No, it's ugly.
We got a guest right now who is the Maitre d' at a restaurant that Buddy Ryan ate at for six consecutive weeks during their big winning streak in 1985. And he's here with the bombshell that Buddy Ryan asked for pepper on four of those six consecutive visits. He's going to tell that never-before-told story now to you here on the show. Welcome in.
That's it. I'm going to make the exhaustive list. Actually, no, I don't have time for that. The number of books, pamphlets, you know, audio tapes that have been put out. Hey, here's another exclusive interview. 30 years later, what do you remember?
Another very special guest who was at the Rex Grossman New Year's Eve party that really cost him the final week of the regular season back in our Super Bowl year of 2008. So we got that coming up here.
The Super Bowl quarterback, Rex Grossman. You can never take that away from him. And it's all overshadowed, right? Because Peyton Manning wasn't good that day, but he won.
Yeah.
Prince.
Well, and you know what?
Played guitar for you.
You know what tomorrow's going to be on shows in Chicago. It's going to be, hey, coming up right now, we got a couple of people who were at the Bulls game last night who were part of the throng of chants, who were fans who were chanting, fire Nagy. We're going to hear why they were chanting that. Let's bring them on right now. Debbie and Bruce, you're on the show. Why were you chanting fire Nagy? Because that guy's got to go. He stinks. Whoa, I haven't heard that before. That's a hot take.
You know, I'm gonna try to text my brother, see if I can get a log into their Comcast or whatever cable system so I can see the local news. Because I guarantee you there are a few of those interviews going on the local news tonight. That's right. Lead story, it'll be the video that got out, and then it'll be live on the scene just outside the Michael Jordan statue.
We get it. It's your business, and you want to be involved in all the decisions, especially who to hire. Hey, this is how Matt Nagy. Then you need Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. Hopefully the Bears are listening. With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates like Jim Harbaugh, whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, it is a final. Tampa Bay with a win over the Giants, but we got a big anniversary to celebrate, plus why the Giants are going to hold the key to the offseason in the National Football League. Wait, they are? Yes, they are. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. It's over in Tampa. Well, it's been over for a little while, but now it is officially over. The Buccaneers beat the Giants 30-10 in a final that many people saw coming. Brady, 300 yards on the night, couple of touchdowns, did throw a pick. It was a big night for Rob Gronkowski as well, six passes for 71 yards. So the Buccaneers, look, they win and they're 7-3 and they're still at the top of what you would call the best teams in the NFL. And we'll have more on them coming up in a few minutes. But look, the Giants lose tonight, and Daniel Jones, at this point, you understand that the Giants are going to move on from him. All right, tonight he was 167 yards through the air, did throw a touchdown, did throw two bad picks, got sacked a couple of times late when the Giants were in their last gasp drive. And clearly at this point, this is you're nearing the end of his third season in the National Football League. And he has not shown that I can be a franchise quarterback. His best year was as a rookie when he threw 24 touchdowns. He threw 11 touchdowns last year. He's thrown 8 touchdowns this year. Everything is moving down. His yardage, his quarterback rating. He's not someone that is showing enough where you can say, all right, let's go in on him next year and build a team around him. You can't, because he's just a guy. And that's something that has not yet manifested itself on the NFL season, but it's going to, because the Giants, look, they're going to be wholesale changes after this year in New York. There's going to be a new head coach. There's probably going to be a new GM, and because everything they've done the last few years is not working. They've been terrible since 2016, right? So much we got, oh, Saquon Barkley's going to be great. Saquon Barkley is just a guy. He got hurt. He's just a guy. Daniel Jones, just a guy. Your two big linchpins are just players. So they're going to just clear everything out in the offseason. So there's going to be a new head coach, new everything. And New York Giants is going to be a destination. And it's going to get a big head coach. They're going to get a big GM. And they're going to go get a big quarterback. They're not going to try to draft somebody, because there's not enough where with the early picks they have, we can move up and get the number one overall pick and take who exactly. You don't have that big end-all, be-all person. There's no Trevor Lawrence. And after going down the road of trying to develop Daniel Jones for 3 years and it not working, the fan base and the team isn't going to have patience for that. They're going to go big game hunting in the offseason, and a big-time quarterback they are going to snare.
Are you trying to get Russell Wilson over there again?
I'm telling you, man, at the top of the list is going to be Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers could get involved too, depending on how sideways things go with the Packers over the course of the next few months. But Russell Wilson, clearly it's not working in Seattle. And he came back this year because, all right, I want to give it one more chance and see. Things started out well. He got hurt. The Seahawks couldn't win. He's come back. The Seahawks still can't win. He's just got that grass is greener itch in him. That as much as, oh, I want to stay, you can tell by his body language what he has said in the past year about moving on and not being respected, because he knows wherever I go, they're going to listen to me, because they just don't listen to me here because they want to listen to Pete. And John Schneider wants to listen to Pete. And so I'm never going to be that, even though Pete without me can't win. And they understand that, but Pete Carroll's got his contract extension. Unless he walks away, Russell Wilson's going to want to go someplace else where he can be that guy. Everybody sees what Tom Brady did 2 years ago, Mike, and that's a really big thing, is that they saw Tom Brady say, I am sick of you not listening to me here in New England. I'm going to go leave and find the last few years of my career are going to be mainly enjoyable someplace else. And what happened? Brady goes to Tampa. Bruce Arians is a player's coach. Brady is in loving life. Every 5 minutes, he's saying something different, giving out his opinions, which we never heard for the 15 years he was in New England. It's a new life for him. Aaron Rodgers saw that and said, maybe I can get to a new place and they'll listen to me. I don't have to worry about guys like Gutekunst and the front office really just making all the calls. And Russell Wilson sees the same thing. Maybe I don't need to be here. I can be someplace else. The Giants can easily overnight become a destination. And it's going to be that way in the offseason. And it could be Russell Wilson. It might be somebody else. But he'd be the guy at the top of the list. There were rumors he could go there a few years ago. But look, Wilson's a young 34. He's someone that's got a few years left. He's got at least 5 or 6 years left, as long as he can stay healthy, because he's that kind of quarterback that he's not going to suddenly fall off the cliff. So he's going to be the most intriguing guy, and he's a guy that is going to be the first guy that Giants fans and the new Giants administration wants. There will be other players available, but he will be at the top of that list. They're going to remake this team. He's going to be there. It's going to be big. You know, look, after Michigan gets blown out on Saturday 62-3 against Ohio State, Harbaugh is going to say, okay, I've gone as far as I could. Maybe it's Jim Harbaugh. It's somebody big. It's a big splash. It's New York, and they have had the last few years of going small. We're going to draft a quarterback out of Duke. We're going to bring in a head coach who was a special teams coordinator with the Patriots. No, now they're going to go big. It's going to be big names. Trust me, the Giants hold the key to the offseason.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, just go back to the Seattle Seahawks for the moment. Firing Pete Carroll should be priority number one at this point. He seems disengaged. That press conference nonsense of Sunday. What are we doing? You're not new to this. Yeah, losing and being embarrassed week in, week out. Yeah, okay, maybe you haven't experienced that, but you're a grown-ass man. Stay in front of the microphone. Finish what you need to say. Come up with a coherent answer for why you've not established a run game, why the offensive line is sieve-like, and why you only have two playmakers who you can't seem to get the ball enough. It's been a train wreck all year long. I'd do everything I could, move heaven and earth, to make sure that Russell Wilson finishes his career as a member of the Seahawks, but that's just me. As for the Giants, yeah. I mean, we watched this game tonight, and the two interceptions for Daniel Jones, I probably held my hands up like I was in the middle of, like, I don't know, meditation or some kind of gravity pulling. It's like, this is how I'm going to, you know, get my muscles spurred on, is just holding out my arms for 5 minutes, because I'll be looking, what have I seen? Little screen pass that really was just confusing as all can be. And the other, almost like he was playing dodgeball looking for Levante David. Ah, you're out. Okay, but the other guy caught the ball, so now you are too. But that's where you're at. And not to make excuses for him. Like, there are moments that he looks good, right? Move on the move, makes plays with his legs. And you sit there and you go back to what Judge and Gettleman and the brass there have built. And they invested a lot of money, and Barkley is, look, we've talked about this for years. I'm a believer, if that's your guy, you go get your guy and let the chips fall where they may. Likewise, you know, with a quarterback, if you decide you see something that maybe the rest of the world doesn't, right? Because it's all about zagging when everybody's zigging. That's how you win at anything you're doing in this world, right? Yes, you can follow some of the the stalwarts and the folks that have had success, but that you're still going to have to find and fill in the blanks. See, I do this after walking around, you know, all the Jurassic Parks ride. Because, you know, what do? You get some frog DNA and away you go. But the reality is that you've got a team where you did make a lot of bets on guys that were injured. Well, we're going to get the best of Kenny Golladay. You heard his name mentioned more than once or twice, other than, you know, they signed Kenny Golladay to this deal.
Don't forget, Kenny Golladay, when he gets playing, boy, he might be really good. Boy, don't forget.
Right, after he played five games last year. Right, and then he comes in and he's been hurt or invisible all year long. You've got an offensive line that struggles. Obviously, Jones' decision-making, it needs to be better than what it is, but you know, Kadarius Toney, he's been hurt a good chunk of the year. You expected him to be a big playmaker. Darius Slayton was hurt. He missed a chunk of time. So you haven't exactly been running. Not that any NFL team has, but it's the, all right, you also built a really shoddy, you know, hut around him to try to make this thing work. And it gets blown over time and time again. So, but they have to make the decision. I didn't see anything. I'm trying to clickety-clack, clack, clack, find out. It's like, all right, he's got one more year on his deal, right? That's it? And then you probably move on, and you may decide to do that for some quarterback-desperate team this offseason.
Look, if I thought the Giants could remake themselves in an offseason, all right, they might not, but it's just been too much, and they've been too bad for too long. I can't believe that this has been accepted. There's certain franchises where it's like, no. We suck for 1 year. That's not the case the next year. And that's usually the case with the Giants. The Giants are bad. No, we're fixing that in a year. Right? When the Steelers have that one down year, no, we're fixing it. And we're back next year.
You know, when he goes 8-8, yeah.
Yeah, most teams do. The Giants, it's baffling that they have stunk for this long. And they've stuck with this plan that is just not working. And it's not getting better. And it's not getting to the point where, okay, I could see it turning the corner. And so when that's your outcome, there's only one way to combat that, and that is we are cleaning house, and they're going to do it, right? Every big name is going to be on the table. The Giants are such a big drawing card that, hey, if we have to go in and everything is new, and that's going to be the big thing. Because if you come into a situation where, okay, like who's going to really want to go be the quarterback in Green Bay to follow Aaron Rodgers? Nobody, right? No one wants to do that. No one wants to be the quarterback to follow Russell Wilson in Seattle. Because number one, you're following in a legend's shoes, and number two, you know that you're going to go in and have a little to no impact because it's going to be the head coach, the GM, everybody else that's calling all the shots. So that's a difficult situation to walk into. When you're walking into everything being new, the excitement about starting over, and here's what we've done, and hey, we're going to take our nice pieces that we have from the year before and push them over to next year. Maybe Kadarius Toney's going to be a star, certainly in limited time. He has shown that he can be a pretty decent player. He may be the best quarterback on the roster too. But it's not very difficult to remake a team in a year when you are hitting the big positions like they are. Boom, GM, head coach, quarterback. That's what they're going to do. Right. And that's an enviable situation to go into. Right. I'll put it to you this way. If you when I was at ESPN, and I was a production assistant there, and I was an associate producer there before I became a talent. And I worked behind the scenes, and it was great. It was fun. I was in production, and it was so good. But there were so many people, there were so many cooks, there were so many people that were in charge of your career and so many layers between you and the top that it was hard to get your voice heard at times. And it was, you know, it gets frustrating for people. You know, I understand that because ESPN's this big machine. So then Fox starts in there was a summer of 1996. That's when Fox Sports 1 started, which is, you know, back then it was Fox Sports Net, and which has morphed into Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. And so many people, I was one of them, wanted to go to Fox, right? They were starting off in Los Angeles. It was a new place to go live in. Who wouldn't want to go live in LA for a while? It was a chance to go in at the same level as everybody else and make your mark on the organization and be able to be someone who stands out, and maybe you're moving up the ladder a little bit more. It's just an enviable situation to go into. And so many people decided, yeah, I want to apply, I want to go there. And it was the best move I ever made. At that point, point in my life I wanted to go do something, and I went, and it was great. And here I am 25 years later, still in Los Angeles and, you know, talking to you every night on the air. So my life has turned out pretty well. But that situation when you have a blank canvas in front of you, that's really enviable. When I can go in and I can not just be someone that's got to feel my way around the organization, I can be the organization. Russell Wilson can walk into New York and go, hey, guys, this is what I think. This is what we're going to do. And a seasoned head coach like Jim Harbaugh is going to listen to that quarterback. Okay, I want this to work, and let's do this, and I'm going to say that. It's just a better thing when you are making all those changes at once, and that's what the Giants are going to do. And with the power of New York, I mean the good New York behind them, not the Jets, you're going to play for the Giants, which actually has a legacy of winning. And the bar is set so low because the Giants have been so bad for so long. All you have to do is stay in the playoff hunt the first couple of years, and fans are going to go, thank you. Oh, my God, I don't want to see any more New York Post headlines about how bad the Jets are. Oh, thank goodness. It's going to be that easy in New York. That's why everything this offseason, what the Giants do, that's going to be the domino effect.
But I still think, though, that as you're looking at the roster, yeah, you can change out some of the cooks, but you still got to figure out your 53-man roster, right? If I read to you right now, and obviously Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers are a different piece of this because, well, they're tradable assets. If you just look at guys that are free agents, I mean, one of the top names is going to be your guy, Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Mike White is a free agent, the Giants sign him to be their starter, and he's great for a decade?
I'm just saying, legitimately, it's not like you've got a list of heavyweights that suddenly just show up and poof, ta-da, we've got our guy. Like, you're going to have to move heaven and earth and make a lot of promises to get one of those big boys. And once again, Aaron Rodgers, I would love to see the contract. Everybody keeps telling me all he's got to say is he's unhappy and they'll have to work to trade him. It's like they could have lied through their teeth that entire time, right? Just like he allegedly wasn't ever showing up again based on some of the insider reports. Ta-da, there he is. All right, we've reworked some things, and here I am. And I brought Randall Cobb with me. So, I mean, things change very quickly. But, you know, trying to remake all of this, it's like when you fire a head coach, you better have someone that you've already communicated with that really wants the job and you think can do it. Otherwise, you're now in a vast wasteland. And certainly we know at the quarterback position, you don't get that right, it doesn't work, right? And the whole squad starts to be taken down. Even when you still have a good quarterback, it can still go south quickly. And all I could read you the list of guys, according to SportTrack and all these other places that do contracts, I don't think there's a single option that you're really excited about hitting the free agency at that position. So you're going to have to make some big bets and get all buy-in. And one thing we know is even if stuff isn't working, if it's going to suddenly cost me millions of dollars, i.e. I have to pay a guy to go away, a lot of NFL owners and business people in general are going to tell you, yeah, I don't want to do that. When does it run out? So let's see how it flows from there.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Get ready, Giants. You know, maybe if Daniel Jones wasn't 0-8 on primetime games, people would be off his back a bit. But, 0-8 in primetime games, that's really not good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Congratulations to Iman Shumpert, winner of Dancing with the Stars. Won a,
is that
won
right?
A title with the Cavs, and yeah, Hakeem Lion. I'm sorry. That's sensitive. Iman Shumpert wins Dancing with the Stars.
Ooh, pretty impressive.
Apparently, it was a big controversy, and there's many people, because, you know, it's on social media, that don't think he should have won. And maybe now we're in a little controversy with Dancing with the Stars.
Mm. Were they trying to get their athlete rate up to try to convince other guys to jump in, maybe?
No, I think
how about
it
that
was
for a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
Waiting on those A-listers. Like, because the sports folks win a lot, and then some of them, I wonder, you know, when you get into the events that they've competed in and Olympians and whatever else, like, should they be eligible to participate against, you know, a guy who's did two lines of tap for some high school play long ago?
No, I think it was the people are upset that JoJo Siwa didn't win. So apparently JoJo Siwa was supposed to win, and it was like, wow, what happened? How did this happen? How did
But there's a great example of, you know, why are you performing on this? Has a dance been your thing? Wasn't that how you got famous?
Sure.
So what the hell are you doing on this show? Aren't you pushing a new reality show where you're teaching kids to dance?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult.
You have your own dance studio. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
There you go. I just broke down the absurdity of the show in 5 seconds without having seen it. What else you got? Bring me another show.
So congratulations to Iman Shumpert. Former
Nick, watched her
first
show yesterday.
Round pick, Nick legend, Iman Shumpert.
Well, now
never heard of.
Look, that's liberally using the word legend right there, buddy.
Well, now he won a title he's won two titles now.
Oh, does he get a banner up in MSG for this one?
Oh, they retire his number easily. You watch, they're going to retire. Right next to Julius Randle last year, the Julius Randle 2020 banner is the Iman Shumpert banner.
Right, but is it a jersey or is it just a pair of shoes go up?
Let's see. Oh, I think it's shoes.
I think it would be the shoes.
Yes, I think it would be shoes. So again, we'll have more on this controversy coming up in a few minutes. But listen, the Browns win yesterday, and they barely beat the Lions, and Baker Mayfield does not have a great game, but they do just enough to beat a really bad team. Baker Mayfield's wife has been very active on social media the last few days about, you know, criticizing some of the Browns players, and now you're getting the narrative about how dinged up Baker Mayfield is and how injured and hurt he is. I've told you many times before, Baker Mayfield is this close to losing his job. One more bad game would have done it. Had they lost to the Lions, that would have done it. But they did just enough to win. But clearly, Mayfield is not enough. So here's what I'm telling you is going to wind up happening. Because they're going to play Baltimore next Monday night, and it ain't going to be pretty. Lamar Jackson will be back, and good luck. What I expect to happen is this. The Browns know Baker Mayfield is not their guy. They know he's not. At this point, they know. But how do they navigate the rest of this season when they may have to go back to him at some point, or next year when they're still looking for a quarterback and it's, well, Baker for one more year, if they can't move on from him entirely? So you're going to see this. You're going to see Baker Mayfield sat down because of the lingering injuries that he has, that he's well enough to play in, so he can't be that banged up if he's actually playing. So he's not really that hurt. But that will be the philosophy of, here's Baker, he's too injured, he's going to sit, and now Case Keenum gets his chance. And if Case Keenum wins, Case Keenum keeps the job. And he keeps it all the way through, and the Browns, if they resurge and they win, suddenly Baker Mayfield doesn't see the field again. If Case Keenum stinks, Baker Mayfield gets healthy, then he gets back out there for the last few games of the season. But that's kind of how it's going to go at this point, because to just flat out bench Baker Mayfield, this is a very fragile team right now in the Browns, and if you do that, even though I'm sure half the team wants to see a new quarterback in there, it can be difficult. So I expect them to have him sit on the guise of injury, and then we go to Case Keenum.
Ooh, look at you. You were trying to make Keenum happen like fetch.
I am Gretchen Wieners.
No, and the hard part is now you can't play the game of, all right, he's really banged up and he's not helping us, because he now popped off with his mouth. So nobody's going to buy it, right? As soon as he went after the fans and did all that, and, you know, the same ones booing us are the same ones that are making noise when we're out here trying to operate and make plays. They're fans. They paid to come in. They're trying to encourage you. Sure, it would be probably easier to do your job if they were quiet in the moment. But, you know, they don't hand out the fan etiquette necessarily when it comes to those kind of things. I just wonder how much the help of Kareem Hunt returning will mean to this squad. Thank you for a job done, to Ernest Johnson. But, yeah, the writing's on the wall for Baker Mayfield. Question is, do you want to go trust the draft, or is Case Keenum your guy?
Oh, I'll tell
it's
you,
on you, GM Smith.
They'll figure that out next year. Let's worry about tomorrow first, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, hey, oh boy, we have an anniversary to tell you about.